بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, human existence on planet Earth is riddled with challenges. None can deny or refute this reality. The Arabic poet said, عِشْ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُوسِرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ أَوْ مُعْسِرًا لَا بُدَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْغَمِّ. Whether you live the life of affluence or you live the life of a pauper, inevitably you would be gripped by challenges, hurdles, obstacles and impediments. دُنْيَاكَ بِالْأَحْزَانِ مَقْرُونَ. Human existence on this life on this planet is gripped and inseparable from difficulties and challenges. لَا تَقْتَعِ الدُّنْيَا بِلَا هَمِّ. You cannot traverse the journey on planet Earth without obstacles and challenges. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. The life we have designed for man is a life of challenges. The poet said, مِحَنُ الزَّمَانِ كَثِيرًا لَا تَنْقَضِي. The trials of this world are unending. وَسُرُورُهُ يَأْتِيكَ كَالْأَعْيَادِ. While its happy moments will only visit you like the two Eids, twice a year and nothing more. سَهِرَتْ عُيُونٌ وَنَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ فِي أُمُورٍ تَكُونُ أَوْ لَا تَكُونُ. Some have lost their sleep and they have been gripped by insomnia. And others have fallen off to sleep to drown their sorrow. في أمور تكون أو لا تكون. Looking at the volatility of things, political and otherwise. فادرء الهم عن النفس. The poet says, take a deep breath, relax, inhale, exhale, calm yourself down. Let the world be, you're not going to be able to stop it. فادرء الهم عن النفس. فَحِمْلَانُكَ الْهُمُومَ دُنُونُ. You've become a vessel of depression, which is tantamount to insanity. إِنَّ رَبًّا كَفَاكَ بِالْأَمْسِ مَا كَانَ سَيَكْفِيكَ فِي غَدٍ مَا يَكُونُ. The Allah that provided for you yesterday has not become dormant or inactive today. It's the same Allah that provided that will continue to provide. رأيتك جالسا مستقبلي فعلمت أنك للهموم قرين. Oh my brother, when I glanced at you, a cursory glance, I realized you were gripped in deep sorrow. هون عليك, relax. وكن بربك واثقا, and put your trust in Allah. فأخو التوكل شأنه التهوين. In essence, the summarized version of these poetry is that mankind has been gripped in depression. Some are popping pills to come out of the depression. Others are going into casinos. And believe it or not, there are certain people and organizations that offer what they refer to as laughing therapy. Like you have aroma therapy, laughing therapy. So sit with us and we'll teach you to laugh. It's not laughable, it's real. And try and get yourself out of the depression. Today I present before you a divine antidepressant, something which the Quran has referenced, and that is what Atta ibn Abi Rabah, the great African scholar and the imam and the mentor of Nu'man ibn Thabit Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said. What is that? He said, لا يسمع سورة يوسف محزون إلا استراح إليها. Any person who listens to the tale and the advices and the message of the chapter Surah Yusuf in the Quran, instantly Allah will bring calmness and tranquility to his life. So before we go on, just keep this in mind. This is a divine natural antidepressant. We don't realize there are so many antidepressants. I read an article of a woman who was visually impaired, and she was asked, a non-Muslim, if the Almighty had to restore your vision for a second, what would be the sight you desire to see the most? And she said, I would like to see a child smile. I would love to see a child smile. And today we snub the child, we ignore the child, we shun the child, we shirk the child. Yet that is so meaningful, it is so comforting, it is so soothing. Be it as it may, the tale of Yusuf has within itself, as the focus of our talk, embodied direction, guidance and navigation for every one of us. Like someone said it, and I quote, فَإِلَىٰ كُلِّ مُبْتَلَىٰ أُهْدِي إِلَيْكَ سُورَةَ يُوسُفَ لِتَكُونَ عَزَاءً لَكَ فِي هَذَا الْبَلَاءَ الَّذِي أَصَابَكَ. For every afflicted individual in crisis, in pain, in agony, in challenges, I present the tale of Yusuf to you so that you can take consolation from this tale, because your challenges are far less than the challenges of Yusuf alayhi salam. وَإِلَىٰ كُلِّ مُبْتَلَىٰ وَإِلَىٰ كُلِّ شَبٍ مُبْتَلًا بِفِتْنَةِ النِّسَاءِ أُهْدِي إِلَيْكَ سُورَةَ يُوسُفَ. And to every young boy or girl infatuated over your beloved, dating and courting, un-Islamic and illicit, I present before you the tale of Yusuf, so you can draw strength from his modesty, his bashfulness, his fidelity, his loyalty and his integrity. وَإِلَىٰ كُلِّ مَظْلُومٍ أُهْدِي إِلَيْكَ سُورَةَ يُوسُفَ لِتَعْلَمْ يَقِينًا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَنْصُرُكَ لَا مَحَالَةَ وَأَنَّ نَصْرَهُ قَرِيبٌ جِدًّا. And to every victim, I present the tale of Yusuf, so that you may realize that the help of Allah is close, and He will rescue you inevitably, as He rescued the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. وَإِلَىٰ كُلِّ مَسْئُولٍ. And to every person who finds himself in a position of authority, on a micro or a macro level, on a domestic or the global stage, I present before you the tale of Yusuf. لِتَعْلَمْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْمَنْصَبَ تَكْلِيفٌ لَا تَشْرِيفٌ. So that you realize the position in which you are is a responsibility more than an honor. وَلِتُؤَدِّي الْأَمَانَةَ. And so that you discharge the obligation upon you. During the period of famine, Sayyidina Yusuf had passed a decree in the palace that as the masses will only eat one meal, the entire royal family will eat no more than the general masses. The Quran refers to this tale as the best of tales. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. The noblest of all tales. Now why? In Al-Bahru Al-Muhit it is mentioned, لِأَنَّ كُلَّ مَنْ ذُكِرَ فِيهَا كَانَ مَآلُهُ إِلَى السَّعَادَةِ. Everybody who features in the tale of Yusuf has a noble ending. The Quran repeatedly impresses upon us, focus on the ending and don't be deceived by the in-between phases and stages. Look what happened. How often don't we see a man in the glamour, in the fame, a life of being a celebrity, wealth, pomp, honor, but he dies as an addict and as a pauper on the streets. What happened in the end? أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Why don't you travel the world with the eye of reflection and introspection and see what was the outcome, the end result, the final result? So the young boy Yusuf, the son to a great Nabi Yaqub, with a great and a bright future, sees this amazing dream and vision. What is this dream?
رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا.
Oh my God, I see these 11 stars. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. And the sun and the moon.
رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ.
Collectively bowing and prostrating before me. Now there can be no doubt that a good dream and a good vision is a source of glad tidings from the Almighty in this world.
لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ.
In the 11th Juz, Allah says, for He inspires servants, there is glad tidings in this world, and the majority of scholars reference glad tidings to mean good dreams in this world.
The hadith of Bukhari, a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, I offer a prayer for the Almighty, and I'm motivated by the pleasure of the Almighty. But sometimes it also attracts the praises of people. And to be honest, I enjoy those praises, but I'm not motivated by those praises.
Look at the brilliant nature of that question. It's key. You're not motivated by that. You know, in English they say, we would probably be most embarrassed of our best actions if the world only knew the motives behind them. We would probably be most embarrassed, and someone said, the world only observes our actions, while the Almighty analyzes the motives of our actions.
So if people see, mashallah, he attends programs, he's the forerunner, he's a good man. The world judges you, the yardstick of judging you in the eyes of people is your action. But the Almighty microscopically analyzes the motivation of that action. May Allah give us nobility of intention.
The Prophet ﷺ said, if you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah, and yet people are praising you, تِلْكَ عَاجِلُ بُشْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And that is glad tidings from the Almighty on this earth. So, oh my dad, I see these 11 stars, the sun and the moon prostrating to me.
عرف أبوه أنه سينال منزلة عالية ورفعة عظيمة في الدنيا والآخرة.
The dad, with his vision, with his wisdom, with his foresight, with his fortitude, with the skill of interpreting dreams, having the great honor of being a prophet, he's seen with that inner eye and he realized there's a bright future coming ahead.
فأمره بكتمانها وَأَلَّا يَقُصَّهَا عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِهِ كَيْ لَا يَحْسُدُوهُ وَيَبْغُوا لَهُ الْغَوَائِلِ وَيَكِيدُوهُ بِأَنْوَاعِ الْمَكْرِ وَالْحِيَلِ.
So he said, my young boy, that's a great dream. This is an opening of a bright future. But I need a big favor from you. Keep this a secret and don't divulge it to your own brothers, leave alone anyone else.
Imam Qurtubi makes an amazing deduction at this juncture, and as we move on, I want to engage you and put your thinking cap so you can apply your mind and we can draw great and rich anecdotes and analogies from the Quran.
He says, هَذَا دَلِيلٌ وَاضِحٌ عَلَىٰ مَعْرِفَةِ يَعْقُوبِ بِتَأْوِيلِ الرُّؤْيَا. It's abundantly clear that the Prophet Yaqub, the dad, was skilled in the interpretation of dreams. Because this is a skill of itself, it's an art of itself.
Furthermore, he writes, وَلَمْ يُبَالِ بِذَٰلِكَ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ لِأَنَّ الرَّجُلِ يَوَدُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ وَلَدُهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ وَالْأَخُ لَا يَوَدُّ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَخِيهِ.
Subhanallah. When the boy had the dream and this vision, and he narrated to his dad, the dad didn't say, don't discuss it to me. And the dad didn't feel threatened by the vision, because the father wishes that his son must excel him, but a brother doesn't necessarily share the same sentiments with his fellow siblings.
So he told his son, take precaution from your brothers. I'm happy you told it to me. I'm your father. Good luck. I love it. I wish you go ahead of me. All the best, my son. That's my hope. That's my desire and my vision. But with regards to your brothers, take precaution.
And hence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ista'inu 'ala injahil hawa'ij bil kitman, fa inna kulli dhi ni'matin mahsud." learn to insulate, protect, fortify your virtues and your boons. How? By holding your secrets. Why? Because every favored individual is targeted with the jealous eye. Now look at the irony of the world. Back in the days, you kept a diary. And you would confide in your diary. And by the way, in English they say, keep a diary, and one day it will keep you. Keep a diary, and one day it will be your trace on earth. So anyway, you kept the diary, you wrote in your diary, it was a secret. You didn't want anyone to pry or to probe or to monitor it or to watch it. And if anybody got into it, you felt offended and violated. Today things have turned around. You throw out everything on social media, and if people don't read it, you feel offended. That you didn't even make a comment, you don't even react, you don't even drop me a post, you don't even drop me a tweet. So you kept this diary, and if anybody wants to pry in it, you felt offended. And now you throw it out in social media, and if people don't respond and don't react, you feel offended. Ya la fasad al-dhawq, ya la su' al-ikhtiyar. الحسد موجود بين الإخوة والأقارب لا شك في ذلك. Jealousy is intrinsic. It's intrinsic. It's inherent. It's inborn. And it manifests itself more amongst your relatives and your siblings than strangers and unknown people. This is the sad reality of life. وهذا ظاهر في طعن الرجل من بني سلمة على كعب بن مالك. And look at the deduction of the scholars, and this is so phenomenal. And this is the beauty of our deen and the richness of our religion and the all-embracing material of our faith, if only we can apply our mind. So, here's an objective digression, and then we come back to the topic. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in Tabuk, and he mobilized his companions and they left, there were five categories of people that the Quran speaks about. There was the category that responded diligently, promptly, and they accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was yet a second category that were initially hesitant but subsequently responded. الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ. The group who responded in the hour of difficulty after they were apprehensive. There was yet a third category from amongst the Muslims who didn't have the funds and the means, and hence they were excused. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قلت لا أجد ما أحملكم عليه. There is no blame, there is no reproach, there is no criticism on those from amongst the Muslims who come to you asking for a conveyance or aid, and you turn them away because you don't have anything, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. تولوا they leave وأعينهم تفيض من الدمع while tears well up in their eyes حزنا ألا يجدوا ما ينفقون. Out of the intense regret that they cannot spend or they don't possess that what it has to spend in the court of Allah and in the campaign. There was a fourth category, and that was the hypocrites and the munafiqeen, and the Quran speaks about them. They didn't attend. Some of them didn't even bother excusing themselves. وَقَعَدَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا. However, there was a fifth category, and these were genuine, honest, sincere companions, but they got caught up. They got caught up. And they said, we will go tomorrow, the next day, the following day. And before they knew, the campaign was over and the Prophet of Allah returned. There were 10 in number, but there were 7 that took an initiative that as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned, they went to the blessed masjid, they tied themselves to the pillar, and they said that we are repenting and we are remorseful and we will not leave this place until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't unshackle and unleash us with his own hands. And there were the other 3 that were equally remorseful, but they decided little later and their tawbah was put on hold for 50 days.
Amongst those three was Ka'b ibn Malik. Ka'b ibn Malik, Murara ibn Rabi' and Hilal ibn Umayyah radiyallahu anhum. So when the Prophet of Allah got to Tabuk, he rotated his gaze and he said, I don't see Ka'b among that. It was a moment of silence. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّن بَنِي سَلْمَى. Somebody from his own tribe spoke out. Not very pleasant words. O Prophet of Allah, leave him. He's got other interests in life now. حَبَسَهُ بُرْدَاهُ وَالنَّضْرُ فِي عِتْفَيْهِ. The man is obsessed by exclusive dress. The man is motivated by fine clothing. The scholars say nobody objected to his absence on the question of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam but a person from his own family and tribe. So this is a harsh reality. It's the brutal truth. But again, this was the beauty of the group of Sahaba. Immediately Mu'adh ibn Jabal came forward and he said, brother, I don't welcome that. I don't welcome that. بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتُ. Those are not pleasant sentiments. We don't want to entertain. No, we enjoy it and we perpetuate it. So when somebody says this, then you nod with approval. I thought I was the only one that had that opinion, but thank you. Thank you. And we play with semantics, right? We play with words. When two fools agree, then we say, fools seldom differ. And when myself and another man agree, then we say, intelligent minds think alike. Intelligent minds think alike. بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتُ. We don't welcome that. Nip it in the bud. وَاللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. He is a good man, he is a noble man. He is a good man, he is a noble man. Anyway, fate had it, destiny had it, and like the Arabic proverb goes, إِنَّ الْحَذْرَ لَا يَدْفَعُ الْقَدْرَ. إِنَّ الْحَذْرَ. This is such an integral article of faith. Regardless of the precautions you apply, you cannot alter or avert destiny. If we can digest this one thing, it is a lesson of life. I was once flying to the UK and I was interviewed by the officer and he was a great man, a noble person. He asked me my questions of travel, etc. And then he said, you're a man of God, you're a man of religion, and I don't claim that, but he said, by your attire and your dress. And he said, I'm done with the interview, but you know, I've lost a daughter of mine, and I'm grappling with issues, and I could never overcome this. And I've been to my priest and bishop and the rest of it. Can you explain to me, how would you counsel a person who's going through a crisis from a religious perspective? Now, somebody came to Sayyidina Ali and he said, unpack, dissect, elucidate for me the article of taqdeer, the concept of taqdeer. If I shy away from the question and I change the topic, you could say perhaps I'm camouflaging my ignorance. But Sayyidina Ali was a giant of knowledge. There was no man like Ali. A person was sitting by Umar radiallahu anhu and he said, أُحِبُّ الْفِتْنَةِ وَأَكْرَهُ الْحَقَّ وَلِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِي السَّمَاءِ. I, وَأَكْرَهُ الْحَقَّ. I despise the truth. I love fitna with a passion. And I own things that even Allah doesn't have. Now can you imagine a man like Umar radiallahu anhu, he lost his balance and composure. Sayyidina Ali said, Umar, take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. And here again we learn, when your brother says something, look for a positive interpretation before you conclude. Don't jump the gun. Look for a... Sayyidina Ali said, wait, O Umar. He said he despises the truth. The Quran has referred to death as the truth. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. And every man inherently has apprehension and reservation to death. Why not interpret his reservation or his dislike for truth as his apprehension to death? Okay, never thought like that. Number two, he said, أُحِبُّ الْفِتْنَةِ. I love fitna.
The Quran says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ.
Verily, your wealth and your children are a trial.
Who doesn't love his wife and children?
The third thing he said, صَلَّيْتُ بِغَيْرِ وُضُوءٍ.
I offer prayer without ablution.
He said, oh Umar, let's look at the word salla linguistically, grammatically,
and not in an academic context.
So salla in the linguistic meanings to make dua, and you can supplicate Allah without ablution. وَلِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ.
I hope it's not too academic, but I'm just trying to substantiate the point.
وَلِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And I have on the earth which Allah doesn't have.
You have wife and children and Allah doesn't have and He doesn't need it.
Allah doesn't have and Allah doesn't need. Look at the beauty of the Quran. You take aid from one of three. Either you take aid from someone senior to you, that's the average situation. A junior from a senior, a child from a parent, a student from a teacher. Or sometimes you take aid, an elder takes aid from a junior. So a parent taking help from his child, a teacher taking help from his student as he ages, etc., becomes weak, frail, senile. Or then you take help and aid from your equal and your partner. Two partners in a business, husband and wife, etc. The Quran negates and refutes all three. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِّنَ الذُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ, and say all praise belongs to Allah. لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. He has no children because he doesn't need it. لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ مِّنَ الْمُلْكِ. And he doesn't have a partner in his empire and dominion. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِّنَ الذُّلِّ. And he has no guardian due to weakness or inability on his part. وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Then, O Muslim Ummah, say Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina, this was the beauty of Sahaba. When Sayyidina Ali made this interpretation, Umar radiallahu anhu didn't say, but that's a distorted view. No. بِئْسَ مَقَامٌ لَيْسَ فِيهِ Ali. بِئْسَ مَقَامٌ. Oh, brilliant sentiments echoed by Ali. I wouldn't want to be present at a place where Ali is not part of the gathering. He rescued me. His vision, his knowledge, his jurisprudence, his understanding rescued me. So the man came to Sayyidina Ali and he said, tell me about fate and destiny. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, brother, هُوَ طَرِيقٌ مُظْلِمٌ لَا تَسْلُكُهُ. It's a dark road, don't walk on it. He said, oh Ali, unpack for me taqdeer. Why is he sick? Why is he healthy? Why is he wealthy? Why is he poor? Why does he have fame? Why does he lack fame? Why are things materializing for him and why not for the other? He said, هُوَ بَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ لَا تَلِجْهُ. It's a deep ocean, don't dive into it. He said, أَخْبِرْنِي, tell me. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, هُوَ سِرُّ اللَّهِ قَدْ خَفِيَ عَلَيْكَ. It is the secret of Allah, only known to Him, don't probe it. But as believers, what we've been taught, that we take precautions, but regardless of the precautions we take, we cannot temper or change or alter what Allah has decided. إِنَّ الْحَذْرَ لَا يَدْفَعُ الْقَدْرَ. How profound! How profound! The little boy whispers it, leaks it. He tells his brothers, hey, come here, brothers, innocently, I had this beautiful dream. You know what? Sun, 11 stars, sun and moon bowing and prostrating to me. There starts the jealousy. What do they say? إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبًا. I mean, I don't have time, I don't want to go into too much detail here. Academically, linguistically, grammatically, the scholars have actually analyzed the position of lam in this ayah. مَا مَوْقِعُ اللَّام فِي قَوْلِهِمْ لَيُوسُفْ. The Yusuf. What is the position of lam in a grammatic context? And they tell us, اللام هنا بمعنى القسم. وَاللَّهِ لَيُوسُفْ. What did they say? By Allah, our dad is in a manifest error. Why? Because he loves Yusuf
and his brother. Brother here means uterine brother. They shared a common mother from the womb. So his uterine brother are more beloved to our dad than us. إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Our dad is foolish, he's naive. Now again, and this is what I'm saying, we need to draw lessons. How many youth today make the same mistake? My dad is silly, my dad is naive, my dad is foolish. There's an incident in the Quran, I'll just make an anecdotal reference and move on to it. There was a man in the previous times, he had his farm, he would harvest his crops, and then he would take it, give some to the poor, bring some home. The poor ate, he had, his business continued and life continued. When the old man died, the children inherited the farm of their father. But what did they say? And this is mentioned in Ma'riful Quran. They said, our old man was silly. Our old man was not wise. Sayyidina Ali said, we need the youth, the valor of the youth, the wisdom of the youth, the drive of the youth, but we also need the wisdom and the foresight of the elderly. And we need the wisdom of the elderly more than we need the passion of the youth. We need both, and we need to merge it, and we need to bridge it, and we need to find grounds. Hence an appeal to both. So what they said, now we are going to harvest the crops early in the morning. When the beggars come, there will be nothing. And if you want, you go to the marketplace and pay. Nothing is for free. The Quran speaks about this categorically in the 29 Juz. إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَصْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. They were so brazen, they were so blatant, they were so confident, that they didn't even feel the need of saying, Insha'Allah, we will go. We're going, we're under control, we're going to do it, we're going to apply ourselves, I've got my mind, I can mobilize and I'll do it. The Quran said sheer contamination of their endeavor attracted a divine fire which reduced the crops to smithereens. And it was destroyed in such a way that when they arrived there, they said, no, this is not ours, this is somebody else's. You know when you exit from a mall and you came out from the wrong exit, and then you don't see your car, and your heart skips a beat, and then you're in denial, you say, no, we're in the wrong place. Well, maybe here theft is not so common, so good luck to you. Back at home, unfortunately, it's a common thing. So seldom is it that you parked in the wrong place. The harsh reality is that unfortunately it was stolen. May Allah protect us all. And that's the time they realize, what did they say? Our dad is not a fool, we are fools. The English saying is very apt at this juncture. They say in English, by the time you realize your dad was correct, you have a son who thinks you are incorrect. By the time you realize, hey, the old man, oh man, my hat off for my old man. Let me go to his grave. Oh, I can see what my old man meant. By the time you realize your dad was correct, you have a youngster in your house who's challenging you and saying, but you are incorrect. That's the irony of life. Al-hasadu sababun li kathirin min al-balaya. A chunk of our problems today in this world is due to jealousy. Fal-hasadu sababun fil qatl. Jealousy. There are three things. I mean, every crime is serious. Don't underestimate or trivialize. But three in particular amongst others. Jealousy, anger and lust. You lose your sanity. You lose your balance. That's not a human. That's not a mortal. That's a vessel of evil and wickedness that's operating. SLHub.com. It could provoke you to killing and claiming the life of your beloveds. That is how nasty it is. Jealousy is evil. مَمْتَنَعَ إِبْلِيسُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ لِآدَمِ إِلَّا حَسَدًا مِّنْهُ. Nothing made the devil not prostrate to Adam other than jealousy. وَالَّذِي حَمَلَ قَابِلْ عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ هَابِلِ الْحَسَدِ. What provoked Qabil to claim the life of his brother Habil other than jealousy? There is a narration in Ibn Asakir. Hasan Basri said, I came to the masjid in Basra and there was a gathering of Sahaba. It was an era rich with the noble companions. And whenever I read this, I just become green with envy. Can you imagine the richness of this gathering? when you sit in there, great, great, prominent Sahaba sitting. It's just too amazing. So anyway, I came there, and Ahnaf ibn Qais was present, and he was narrating an incident. He said, Sayyidina Umar had sent us in a particular expedition, and we were victorious in the expedition, and we gained a lot of booty and spoils of the war and wealth, and I brought it home, and we were very happy. So we decided to clad ourselves with the new dress and garment that we got in booty. When we came back to Medina, we presented ourselves before Sayyidina Umar. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنَّا بِوَجْهِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَا يُكَلِّمُنَا. So Umar radiallahu anhu gave us a cold shoulder. Now this was the beauty of Sahaba, that a sheer diversion from the mentor was adequate to leave the disciple restless. Try your luck with your son and turn your face this way, he'll turn it the other way. You know, there's the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, must I tell you of the woman of paradise? Not Miss World, Miss Paradise. Oh Prophet of Allah, tell us of Miss Paradise. إِذَا غَضِبَتْ أَوْ غَضِبَ زَوْجُهَا قَالَتْ لَا أَتَّحِلُ بِغَمْضٍ حَتَّى تَرْضَى. The narration of Targhib. That if she and her husband has an argument, he says, listen my husband, our differences are in its place, but if we don't reconcile, I won't sleep. I've been counseling for the last 20 years. And then you ask the question, are you people sharing a common room? No, share, we sleep in different rooms, and honestly, I sleep better. Honestly, I sleep better. I don't mind reconciling, but when we're together, there's just no peace. Unfortunately, these are the kind of sentiments that are echoed. Look at Sahaba. They were so motivated to change that a sheer diversion left them restless. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, نِعْمَ الرَّجُلُ خُرَيْمُ الْأَسَدِ لَوْلَا طُولُ جُمَّتِهِ وَإِصْبَالُ إِذَارِهِ. Oh my companion Khuraym, he's amazing. He is an awesome human being. He is a brilliant individual. It's just that trouser of his is dangling below his ankles, and that hair of his is a bit too long. He only had 2 demerits. I might only have 2 merits. That might be the only 2 things right in my life. He didn't say, oh Prophet of Allah, but look at the other things in my life. فَبَلَغَ ذَلِكَ خُرَيْمًا. When Khuraym got wind of it, رَفَعَ إِذَارَهُ إِلَىٰ أَنْسَافِ سَاقَيْهِ. He raised his lower garment to mid-calf. وَقَطَعَ شَقْرَهُ. And he cut his hair to the mid of his ears. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was elated. He was ecstatic. He said, he has paved his way to paradise. We came to Umar. Umar turned his face away. We were panicked. We were uneasy. We said, the easiest way is let's go to his son Abdullah. The dad, the son will know his father the best. An apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Let's go to the son. So we went to Abdullah ibn Umar and we said that we went to your dad. We came back. We didn't do anything wrong. We were dressed up. And he just gave us a cold shoulder. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, إن أمير المؤمنين رأى عليكم لباسا لم يرى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبسه. You know what? If you really want to know why my dad did it, I know him well. My dad seen you cladding yourself with something which the Prophet of Allah never wore, hence my dad cannot digest that. You know, my late granny, may Allah fill her soul with peace and her grave with nur and barakah, and may Allah engulf her and all our deceased with mercy. I was a kid, and these memories live with me. So every time I used to go and see her, she used to say, my son, my grandson, make dua, I want to move on. And I'm like, granny, hang on, you know, Allah will give you a good life and a healthy life and, you know, many years. And she was into her 80s. And then she said this thing, and at that time it was a kid. You know, someone said in the English language, continue advising your children, even if they don't practice it, they'll pass it on to your grandchildren. Even if they don't practice it, they'll pass it on to your grandchildren. Because you don't know when it's going to strike a chord. So she said to me, oh my son, I want to move on. So I said, Granny, but why? She said, these old eyes can no longer see these new fitnas. So I said, what do you mean? She said, these are eyes of modesty and morality. These eyes don't know promiscuity and immorality. These are ears of respect and dignity. They don't know vulgarity and talaq. These are tongues of respect and honor. They don't know obscene language. Today those words haunt me. They ring in my ears. They give me shivers in my back. That these were traditional eyes. These were eyes of respect. Sayyidina Uthman was delivering the khutbah. Anas ibn Malik walked into the gathering. Inadvertently, his gaze fell on a strange woman and he dropped it immediately. As he entered the gathering, Uthman radiallahu anhu said, يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ وَآثَارُ الزِّنَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Some people have entered the gathering. And I can actually see zina dripping from their eyelids. So Anas ibn Malik said, أَوَحْيٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Are the doors of revelation still open? So Uthman ibn Affan said, لا ولكن فراسة صادقة. No, but that's the vision of a believer and it is the foresight of a believer. I'm saying these people were so motivated by change. In English they say, the devil has no problems with your intentions of change as long as it's for tomorrow. If you say tomorrow I'm going to change and I'm going to reform and I'm going to the devil's got no problem. But if you say I'm changing now, the devil is in a crisis. The devil is in a crisis. Tomorrow, after a year, when I go for Hajj in Ramadan, when I get married, I won't peruse the sites, I won't go on porn, I won't see this obscene, I'll get my life in order. Between the regrets of yesterday and the hopes of tomorrow lies the opportunity of today. So he said, Umar radiallahu anhu, seeing you dressed like this, this evening. He said, okay, that's fine. We went immediately, we took off our clothing, and we wore the simple dress and we came back to Umar. قام يعانق منا رجلا رجلا حتى كأنه لم يرنا قبل ذلك. Umar stood up and he embraced us. He was so receptive as if nothing happened before. He said, this is again amazing. I don't have a bone with you. I have a contention with an action of yours. If you clear that from the equation, we were brothers, we are brothers. What they say? You know, play the ball, not the individual. Play the ball, that's the soccer analogy. I'm no soccer player. Play the ball, not the individual. Address the crisis, not the person. Ibn Kathir has written, and my mind is digressing, so I'm just sharing it with you. It is tafsir, so amazing, where Allah speaks about the pious servants, the sage, the noble, that يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. The pious are those, and look at the pragmatic nature of the Quran. They don't attend an evil venue. Look at the beauty of Quran. But the Quran is cognizant of the fact you cannot avoid passing an evil venue. It's a world, right? No human is an island. You can't put yourself in a glass house. You're living in the real world. Inevitably, you'll have to cross venues of vice. You can avoid not attending, but you cannot avoid not passing. This is the beauty. This is how practical Islam is. So the pious, they won't attend. But when they have to pass by an evil venue, they do so with dignity. And Ibn Kathir unpacks the word dignity. And I don't know, I'll just briefly tell you. He says, number one, they drop their gaze. Number two, they hasten their pace. Number three, they despise the crime perpetrated at that venue. And they do not despise the individuals in that venue. Anyway, we then came to Umar and we presented him some delicacies. And this is what I was telling you, some delicacies. We said, we brought this as well, please taste it. Umar tasted it, he said, oh, keep this away from me, keep this away. This is too tasty. ليقتلن منكم الابن اباه والاخ اخاه على هذا الطعام.
I foresee a time where a child will slay his biological father and a brother will kill his sibling to lay his hands on delicacies of this nature. Jealousy will enter and destroy and paralyze. We move on. Allama Qushayri writes, what is the system of Allah? لما حسدوا يوسف على تقديم أبيهم له لم يرضى سبحانه وتعالى حتى أقامهم بين يدي يوسف وخروا له سجدا ليعلموا أن الحسود لا يسود.
Oh, this is so amazing. This is so amazing. If nothing more, I hope I can just arouse within you or tickle within you the aspiration to study our Quran and Sunnah and connect ourselves with the sciences. When they plotted and they were jealous against the Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, then Allah brought his brothers to kneel before Yusuf. Why? So that they can realize and the world can realize that the one who harbors jealousy will never be a leader in life. And the one for whom you harbor jealousy, you pave in his way to leadership. But you're not doing it deliberately because you want to curtail his growth. But the more you're trying to stop his growth in a disguised way, you're actually giving impetus and momentum and growth to him. That is why the scholars say none benefited Yusuf on a disguised note as much as his own brothers did. And nobody benefited Sayyidina Musa as much as Pharaoh did. So what do the brothers do? Now look at jealousy. It's cooking within you. Look at again the beauty of the Quran. Allah says we must ask